This is episode 374 of Jumblethink.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1...
Welcome to Jumblethink, where we interview dreamers, makers, innovators, and influencers all about their journey of turning dreams and ideas into reality. Along the way, we're going to give you some tips on how you can turn your own dreams and ideas into reality too. On today's show, we have Donnie Zolden from Stand Up New York. Whether you're a new listener or a longtime fan, if you've never subscribed to Jumblethink, now's the time to do it. Head on over to wherever you listen to podcasts, search for Jumblethink, and click that magical subscribe button. You can also find links to Apple Podcasts, Pandora, Spotify, and more by going to jumblethink.com. Now let's join today's conversation. Hey there, friends. Welcome to Jumblethink. My name is Michael Woodward. I am your host. We have a really great conversation lined up for you today with our friend Donnie Zolden. He's been on the show before. If you missed that episode, go back and check it out. Donnie is the co-owner of Stand Up New York and Podcast Row, where I first met him. And he's been making a lot of news lately around the world of comedy and New York City. Him and his business partner, James Altucher, had an interesting back and forth with Jerry Seinfeld. There is a lot going on in his world, so let's go ahead and join the conversation with today's guest, Donnie Zolden. Hey, Donnie, how's it going? It's been way too long.
I know. It's been, I don't even know how long it's been, maybe a year and a half or so?
Well, we saw each other at PodMax, and that would have been, I want to say that was right before the pandemic, so January or February of last year.
Well, it's good to see your face here. I'm not just... you know, seeing what we're up to on social.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. I feel like you have been probably busier than you've ever been in the last year, even though things were shut down because you've had to deal with so much stuff. So walk us through this last year of COVID and Stand Up New York and Podcast Row, which that's how we met is through that. Yeah. How has the last year been for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a roller coaster. I have to say, though, like I really enjoyed like every minute of it, even though we've been going through a lot of hoops, you know, trying to keep comedy going. But I can still enjoy it, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess mid-March we shut down. And that was a scary time, like mid-March, because like, I didn't know when we would be able to reopen. I mean, I thought it would be sooner than 11 months, but it's scary because also my wife's a dentist and she stopped working. And, you know, I have three kids and they're in school and I have to support a family. So it was really a frightening moment, you know, as most people in this country went through, like who couldn't go to work, like who knows when we can collect a paycheck again. So like March, April, May, there was a lot of anxiety. There was really not much going on. It was when everyone was still afraid to go outside. And when people would go supermarket shopping, they would come home and take their shoes off and like wipe down the groceries, right?
Yeah.
Before the house. So it was like that time. And it was a weird time, those 3 months, just of like, what the F is like happening, you know?
Yeah.
Felt that. I still came to the bar every day. I still came to the club March, April, May, just to, like I mentioned, I have three kids, so it's hard to stay home all day with kids. So this was like my escape and man cave for those months. And I, even though it was quiet and there wasn't a lot of social interaction, I still enjoyed it very much. Just cleaning up the club, like by myself, you know, sweeping the floors and mopping and washing dishes and scrubbing toilets. It was just me using the toilets, but still. I
would, it's always good to keep them clean, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it was like back to basics where it was just me here. So I spent a lot of time just by myself and in the club, taking care of the club and catching up on emails and tasks and projects I've been sitting on for months or years. And I also had a lot of time to reflect and just think about the 12 years that I had this club. And then in May, when it started getting nice out, I started spending more time outdoors and in parks. And I bought a lawn chair and I would city bike over to Central Park every afternoon with my laptop and just like sit on the lawn and just chill. And then one day there was just so many people out there in the park. There were hundreds of people out there having a good time, playing Frisbee and lounging. And I text my booker or emailed him and I'm like, dude, like I'm sitting in Central Park. There are hundreds of people here. Like, why don't we do a comedy show?
Yeah. But before you did that though, you had gotten shut down for doing a show right outside the club, right?
Yeah. So we did, I think it was May. It was before we started our park shows. We experimented with an indoor open mic.
Yeah.
Which was like, no one thought that was a good idea. back in like May, 2 months after the pandemic started, we did it once and we got a little heat for doing something indoors. And then we did an outdoor show in front of the club on back of a pickup truck. We used the back of a pickup truck as a stage and cops shut that down.
My favorite picture though from that is the lady heckling from like the third story up or something.
Yeah, I think she's the one that called the cops. But she was like five stories above the ground, literally heckling one of our comics.
Wow.
We did that outdoor show that got shut down. We did an open mic. We put out the sandwich board on the sidewalk. We called it like illegal comedy.
Yeah.
And it felt like prohibition, you know? But the park shows that we started in June, again, it was prohibited. Even outdoor shows are not allowed, but we knew it was safe. And comics, the weather was beautiful out. Comics like were really itching to get outside and perform again.
Yeah.
New Yorkers wanted to laugh. So we were determined to do as many shows as possible in the city. And we were up to, at the peak, we were producing 50 shows a week in like six parks across Manhattan, Brooklyn, and Queens. So we were like the biggest comedy producer in the world at that time.
Wow. That to me is just crazy that there were other clubs in the city who didn't seem as proactive to say, what could we do? What can we do to bring levity to a horrible situation? What can we do to figure out loopholes or bending the rules to make comedy accessible? Because, you know, I early on in the pandemic said that there was actually two pandemics going on, the pandemic of COVID, but also the pandemic of fear. And people were just not rational in how they were processing and thinking and what they were doing. And it seemed like the further we push in the fear, the worse that mental health got, the worse that other issues were going on. And so why did you feel like you were really, I don't want to say called, but maybe that's the right, what was driving you to say, I've got to really go do something here. I can't just sit back.
I don't think there's one thing that led me to do this. I think one is in no particular order, but for me personally, I've owned this club for 12 years. And I don't know, I never felt, I wasn't so proud of the venue.
Mm.
It has a rich history. It's been around 35 years and all of the greats have been here. Robin Williams, Seinfeld, Chris Rock, they've all passed through these doors. But still, I bought the club when I was 27 years old and I didn't know what the hell I was getting into, you know? Yeah. So it's definitely been a struggle over the years. And it was hard for us to find our place in the comedy industry. People saw us as like these two young, 27-year-olds like coming in here thinking they know what, they're doing, but we really didn't know what we were doing. And it's hard to get like respect of comics. And we're also battling the neighborhood we're in, which is in the Upper West Side. There's not so much, we're not known as like the nightlife Mecca, of New York City. This is not like downtown Manhattan. Upper West Side, you walk on the streets at 8 p.m. and like everyone's indoors, a lot of families, a lot of kids. So it was always difficult bringing people to the club. So we had a battle with like finding an audience every night. So it was really hard to find our voice over the years and an identity. And so when COVID hit, I really was thoughtful about how I could figure out how to finally have a voice. So, I mean, for selfish reasons, like that's, you know, that's one thing that drove me, but also, comics. I really, my mindset was just how I love comedy. I love comics. I love like the creative industry.
Yeah.
And my mindset was just like, how can I help them during this time? You know, because they were suffering, like, you know, you mentioned before, it's also a mental health issue. Like for these comics, they need to, it's their livelihood. Like, that's why they got into stand up, not only, you know, because they're funny, it's because it's an outlet and it's like a way, it's like therapy for them.
Yeah.
So yeah. I thought like I can use my entrepreneurial skills, you know, that I've developed since I'm 19 to build a platform for comics to continue performing. And that's why I wanted to scale to do like 50 shows a week.
Crazy.
It was nuts. And I'm like so happy we were able to do it. And then also I love New York.
Yeah.
And we've lived here since I'm 14 and I don't want to see the city fail. I feel like when I moved here right before high school, it welcomed me and it's been very nice to me. So I really want to fight for my city. And New Yorkers, you know, even though they can be a little like bitter sometimes, I think New Yorkers needed to laugh also.
I know that James Altucher, who's your business partner in this, he sparked off some controversy about talking about a city that I think he loves it too. I don't know him well enough to know that. I know you definitely love it. I love this city.
Yeah, I know James also.
Yeah, none of us want to see the city just fall apart.
Some politicians do. I don't know on which side of the aisle. Yeah, but
yeah, the politicians of New York have not been kind to the businesses of New York, have they?
No, they made it very difficult for small businesses to operate. And unfortunately, thousands have closed down forever, which really sucked. And it's just terrible to see. I don't feel like their leadership has, you know, our best interests at heart.
Yeah. And I want to back up for a second. I was mentioning there that James wrote this article that went out in, did it go out in the Post or the Times?
It was the Post.
It was the Post. And then Seinfeld responds saying, New York's not dead. It always comes back. And that was, I think, in the Times. And then you jump into the fray defending James, but also saying the city is not, I'm hopeful that it will come back too. Talk to us about like what that whole drama was like. Because that really propelled you to becoming not only the voice that you already were, but that gave you a platform to be a voice for comedy and small business in New York. You've been on Fox, you've been on countless different channels just saying, come on guys, we got to do better for the small businesses. We got to do better for entertainment. The plans that you're putting out are just lame. So walk us through that process of what, how that unfolded and what that means to you to have people see you and say, this guy's got a voice that needs to be heard for the city. You're becoming the advocate for the city. You're the voice of small entertainment in New York right now.
I'm really, it sounds like cheesy, but I'm really just like following my heart. And like when I see an injustice, I'm just pulling all the punches. Like I don't care anymore. Like we have nothing to lose. Like we've been closed for 11 months now. Comedy clubs like Danger Fields, which has been around 54 years, closed down. And the politicians like have shown no sympathy for what's going on and they're not helping. So I feel like we need to take it upon ourselves to open, to stay in business and to fight for the city because I don't feel like they're fighting for us. So yeah, when I saw, look, James, I didn't agree with James's article, but you know, at the same time, Seinfeld attacked James. But I was more upset that Seinfeld was just saying how much he loves the city and it's going to come back. But what is Seinfeld actually doing to help the city?
He recorded
like a subway announcement, you know, like when you're on the subway, you hear Seinfeld's voice, which actually we're doing train shows. Who knew? Like, we have comics performing on the train and then they get interrupted by Seinfeld's announcement. But, you know, we during the summer, like, there were, you know, the sanitation funding was cut a considerable amount. So they weren't picking up the garbage on the streets as frequently. So a lot of groups and neighborhoods organized to clean up the streets. So as Seinfeld's writing this reply in the Times to James, he's writing it from the Hamptons, and he's not even in the city.
Yeah.
So I thought it was very hypocritical, you know, that Seinfeld and a lot of big celebrities were saying how much the city will come back and they love the city when they left the city. They were in the Hamptons or they were in L.A. and they're not on the ground helping. There's literally New Yorkers like volunteering to pick up garbage on the streets. You know, we're trying to bring back one segment of the city, which is like live comedy. So, yeah, I don't agree with James's piece, but like I was happy to attack Seinfeld and I even like called him out and mentioned like how he's been to the club and he's just like not nice to fans. And fans would walk over to him and try to take a picture and he'll just like turn his back on them. So I don't think that's cool. And I'm not afraid to like call him out.
Yeah. Well, I'm guessing he's not going to be back anytime soon to the show.
It's fine. I don't care. Like, you know, I think I'm doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And comics reach out to me daily and comedy fans reach out to me and we have a lot of supporters out there. So if Seinfeld doesn't come back, like I won't lose sleep over it.
Yeah. So another area, it just boggles my mind that you're going to cut sanitation when you have a pandemic. Like that just seems like the most insane thing to do. But beyond that, they're not even trying to help take care of people's health. And yet you, as a small business owner, have been able to go and partner with a health company to provide a much needed service for people who are, I mean, comedians. They're funny. But a lot of them, they're doing comedy because like that is the very blood of what they live. It's like for them to go try to find a job in the city would be impossible, but then to do that, it's not going to bring them life either. And they need help with health care. They need help with other things. And so tell us about that initiative with, is it Cayman Health?
It's pronounced Common Health.
Common.
Yeah. I mean, comics have been treated like second-class citizens. I spoke to a comic 2 hours ago, actually, you know, who mentioned like comedy, like stand-up is our job. You know, we get paid to do stand-up. Like, how come we can't go back to work when, like, restaurant workers can go back or people that work in a bar or, you know, people that work for corporations? Like, they're just not being treated like real human beings. And Common Health reached out to me early last week, I believe, and they just saw our efforts trying to keep comedy going. And they said they love what we're doing and they want to support our efforts and they want to offer free healthcare visits and COVID testing to comics in the city until August 31st, 2021. And I was like, I feel like that's like what New York is all about.
Yeah.
I feel like stuff like that should have been happening since March. You know, politicians coming together and businesses coming together and people, but I haven't seen so much like unity even in New York to help each other. So I was really touched by them reaching out and we launched today. It's what, the 16th, I believe. So if you're a working comic, is it the 16th or the 17th? 16th. If you're a working comic, I mean, you can get unlimited free healthcare visits and COVID testing. You know, a lot of comics lost their health insurance.
Yeah.
So I'm grateful that they reached out to me.
I love that you're being so proactive in this. You know, you talked about politicians don't seem to be working together to solve the problem. Everyone was hating Trump. Cuomo was hating de Blasio. De Blasio was hating Cuomo.
Everyone's fighting with each other.
It's crazy. So as a business owner, and I'm a small business owner too, so I understand the pains of like small business. It can switch very quickly between rags and riches and vice versa. It can switch back and forth very quickly. And I think there's a misperception of what a small business owner can look like. And shutting down a business and saying, well, you guys will make it through, right? Well, the rent doesn't stop. The bills don't stop. The power doesn't stop. All these things don't stop. What do you want to see from politicians, whether it's de Blasio, whether it's Cuomo, whether it's Biden, whether it's senators? What do you want to see from them right now when it comes to the entertainment space and the comedy space?
Yeah, I mean, besides only the entertainment and comedy space, I really think we all know what the guidelines are, right? To be able to move around and live your life, you know, while following, you know, these safety guidelines. So yeah. I think it's just following the science and following those guidelines and letting businesses operate. You know, maybe it's not 100% capacity. Maybe it's like right now it's 25. I think it should be more than 25% capacity. You can't really pay your bills operating at 25% capacity. So I think, especially in New York, I want to see things open up. I want to see restaurants. I want to see more people at restaurants, more people at bars. I want to see venues to open up because right now venues are completely prohibited from operating, comedy clubs, music venues. So they need to open up. Broadway, you know, the theaters are huge, so they can socially distance and have shows. I'd love to see people go back to office buildings. Mm-hmm. I go to Midtown and it's a ghost town.
Which is crazy. For anyone that's been in Midtown, I mean, that's just unfathomable.
It's a ghost town. It's you go there like on a Tuesday at 12 o'clock, there's only construction workers there. And then when there is no building, when there's no office workers, then all the local businesses and restaurants close down. So in order for the city to come back, we need to just reopen. I think there's a lot of paranoia in the city, fueled by politicians and other people, you know, about the situation. But I think that there's a way to get back to some normalcy.
Yeah.
And open up, but also following the proper safety guidelines.
Yeah.
It's not like open or closed. Like we gotta like live our life. And that wasn't always my thought. Like it's evolved. Like it's 11 months into this, and like the city is bleeding, and in order for it to come back, like things need to open up, or else, you know, it'll be really bad.
Yeah, I have to say, you know, I did the Disney trip a couple weeks ago. Went down there, felt very safe. Was in restaurants. Was in the park. Had the kids, had the wife there. We were all there enjoying our time. We felt like they're putting healthy guidelines in place. We felt like we were safe there. But the reality is at the end of the day, life is a risk, no matter if it's COVID or a car accident in Texas that kills 8 people, you know? It's, yeah. You know, and you look at Texas, they're open at 75% capacity of venues. You look at Florida, they're open up and the numbers aren't spiking. So, you know, one of the things I'd love to see is just get the data out there so we can see honestly what's going on and stop hiding everything. I mean, Cuomo's in trouble for that right now. But the reality is that we need some more honesty and transparency in this. For you, do you think that Stand Up New York can survive this? Do you feel like you can get to the other side of this and see the city return? How quickly do you think that's happening? When do you think you'll be reopening? Lots of questions right there, I know, but they all tied back.
Yeah, I mean, we're first of all, yes, I mean, we will come out of this, I think, even stronger. We kept a lot of New Yorkers laughing during the pandemic. We gave a lot of comics work. You know, we paid them to perform. So I think that'll come back to us in a good way once we reopen. Also, in the last stimulus bill that passed, there's $15 billion that's being targeted to help venues across the country.
Oh, wow. So that's really cool.
And it's like a very generous grant for venues. They've been very slow in rolling that out and opening up applications. I think they passed this bill several months ago, and we can apply it. So I'd love to see the SBA working faster to roll out those applications, because like venues are shutting down while we're waiting. And then I forgot your last question.
When do you think you're going to be back at this? When do you think?
I mean, we're planning on suing the governor in the next few weeks to be able to open up under the same guidelines as restaurants and bars. So I'm hoping we can reopen within 6 weeks or so.
Is that going to be more of like a class action lawsuit where it's going to be multiple businesses? Is it like a partnership?
It's going to be us right now.
Okay.
But hopefully when other venues see that we're successful, they'll... I think if we win, or when we win, then I think it'll force the governor to give venues guidelines to reopen.
Yeah.
That's what my hope is.
Yeah, that's my hope too. I miss being in the city. I miss Stand Up New York. I miss seeing
I'm here every day.
You're not well, I'll make away. A trip up. Maybe I can finally get on stage.
I'm fully vaccinated.
Did you get the vaccine?
Yeah.
How'd that go?
Good. I had some side effects after the second dose.
Okay.
I was just, you know, my body was achy and I felt a little icky for a day and a half, but happy I got it. Look, comedy is essential. So I was able to get it.
Nice.
And I'll probably get in trouble for saying that. But... yeah, I mean, I'm here. Come visit.
I will. I want to circle back to an area that's near and dear to both of our hearts. I know that's probably taken a little bit of a hiatus for you, but the world of podcasting, where do you see that going for Stand Up New York? Where do you see yourself going? You've been working on a really cool project that's coming out. So it's an area that you want to invest in. What does that look like for the future for you?
Yeah. So as you know, you were involved from like day one. You know, we produced events called Podcast Row. We would connect entrepreneurs with top podcasters, and Stand Up New York hosted the events. I think we did it four times, and people flew in from all around the country to attend. And it was like a very awesome in-person experience where entrepreneurs could be guests on top shows, and awesome networking, and you get to meet the media, and there's entertainment, comedy shows. One event, Mike Love from the Beach Boys was there.
Yeah.
So it was a really cool experience. Unfortunately, with COVID, we had to stop those events. The next one was supposed to be Podcast Grow. It was for the cannabis industry. So we were going to connect cannabis podcasters with cannabis entrepreneurs. But again, it's been on hold for a year now. So I've been spending time developing an app called Podcast Match, which will connect sort of like the same thing, but just virtually, connecting an easy way to connect podcasters with guests and vice versa. So sort of like a dating app, but for podcasters and guests.
Yeah, I love that. I can't wait for that to come out. For those listening and my podcast friends out there, you're going to be getting an email from me or post on social when Donnie launches that. I'll be sharing that out too. So make sure to be a part of that and support what they're doing.
But again, I would love for things to reopen so we can have continue those Podcast Row events, because that was very special, I thought.
Well, I've been a big fan, and I feel like I can call you friend by now too. So I'm rooting for you guys. I've been watching the last year and just, you know, hoping and praying that you guys make it to the other side. And I'm so excited that you didn't just sit back and do nothing, but that you did something. And you know, I talked to people on the West Coast that have heard of you. I've talked to people in the Southeast that have heard about what you're doing in New York, and it's making a difference, and it's really impacting you. So thanks for being a business owner who took the guts to stand up and say, this is wrong. I appreciate that.
Cool. Appreciate you saying that.
So are you doing anything streaming? If people are listening to this in Miami or in Hawaii. Can they stream some events that you're going to be doing in the next months to come?
We're doing an event on April 1st. No joke.
Is that the title? It should be if it's not.
We're it's called Stand Up for New York.
Okay.
No joke will be part of the tagline, but basically it's a fundraiser to help working comedians.
Yeah.
So money raised will go, it will go towards grants for working comics. So we'll have like an in-person comedy show at the Coney Island Amphitheater, and they'll be live streaming it probably on Facebook.
Cool. We'll make sure to share out that link too when that goes live and you're promoting that. As we circle towards the end of this conversation, I would have considered you probably left of center. Just knowing you in our conversations, that probably would have been where you stood politically. Did you ever imagine a time in which politicians would not be an advocate for you, especially ones that you align with?
No. I mean, no. I didn't. I'm like shocked to see. I don't know. I still consider myself like progressive, mm-hmm. but I'm not afraid to call out like the hypocrisy from like the left.
Yeah.
And Cuomo, you know, he has a lot of like liberal celebrity people that endorse him, but and it's like a love fest. But they're not like looking at the facts, like what's going on with this whole nursing home situation. Like they're silent. I don't know. It's just disappointing. I guess I lost a lot of respect for a lot of these people, you know, because they're sitting there in the Hamptons or LA and they use Twitter and Instagram as a platform just to spew like this stuff. But like they're really not on the ground helping as much as I would have thought that they would. Like, I feel like after 9/11, sort of like everyone got together, even like Giuliani, who's gone a little like mad, like he was a hero.
He's just plain on crazy. Let's just be honest about it. I had a lot of respect for him, but he's got a little, yeah.
Everyone did, but like, I feel like a lot of people got together after 9/11 to bring back the city. Like, you know, De Niro, you know, created the Tribeca Film Festival right after 9/11 and revitalized Tribeca downtown Manhattan.
Yeah.
But I'm really not seeing that in the city this time around.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Tommy, I really appreciate you taking time out. I know you've been doing a lot and you're busy, and it's good to just see a friendly face and see you again and know that there are a lot of people cheering you on. I'm one of them. And I was so excited to get back to something normal and be back up there hanging out with you guys again soon.
Dude, I'm here. Come next week.
All right, I'll see what I can do. I'll talk to the wife. See if she'll let me.
I'm in. Let's get people back to the city.
Yeah.
We'll break into Broadway.
Nice. Nothing else is going on, right?
If you come, we'll put on a comedy show for you.
Oh, that's too kind.
We're doing it.
All right.
Let me know.
I'll figure out a date and I'll see you soon.
Okay. All right, man.
Once again, I want to thank Donnie for taking time out and being on the show. It's always good to connect up with old friends. I hope today's conversation has inspired you. Donnie took a very hopeless situation, seeing his comedy club shuttered because of COVID, and found unique and creative ways to solve this problem. That's my challenge to you today. You may have looked at this past year filled with hopelessness, despair, just detached from the people around you. And rightfully so, it was a hard year, but you can't live there. You have to figure out creative solutions to complex problems. COVID has been one of the most complex and hard seasons of our history, modern history. My hope today is that you would be inspired to go help somebody, to go come up with a creative solution, to be challenged to start fresh and new and really step out in bold, unique ways. I love what Donnie's doing up at Stand Up New York, and if you can and you know how to, reach out and support them in some way. Come up with a way that you can help what they're doing and get them to the other side of all of this craziness. I hope that you will take today to think about your dreams, your ideas. to think about the things that you value, that you love, and that you take some time to figure out a way forward, to dream big, and to change the world around you. Thanks again for tuning in to Jumble Think. Now it's your turn. As I said before, dream big and change the world around you. Étirez-vous doucement, mais complètement. En avant, en arrière, sur les côtés. Vous êtes une autre personne. Les mères de famille, les enfants peuvent également prendre un moment revitalisant. Dans quelques mois, lorsque vous aurez bien saisi la technique et que vous serez maître de votre corps, vous pourrez vous décontracter même en travaillant.